The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I'm privileged today to be sitting with a gentleman that I've just met, a name though that we know. If you know anything about Winter Park, you would know the name Morse. Now, we'll talk about that in just a little while. Happy to welcome Chalmers Morse. Thank you for being here.
Mike, it's a privilege. Thank you.
You know, this exciting area has changed so much. You've been a part of this area. Your family has been a part of Central Florida for many, many years. What's your first recollection of this?
I remember as a child coming to visit my cousin, Jeanette McCain, who founded the Morse Museum in honor of my great-grandfather, who 100 years ago this month passed away.
Mm.
So I'm the youngest of the great-grandchildren, and my father was the youngest, so that's why it goes back so far. But
what was it like visiting this area for you? What are your recollections?
I remember a lot more sand streets.
that's a nice one. And, you can't really say dirt streets in Central Florida.
And less traffic.
Less traffic, yeah. Sand streets, probably lots of orange trees.
Lots of orange trees, laid back communities.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, before the years of the mouse and all the other entertainment that we now have in the greater Orlando area, but it was a sweet area.
Mm-hmm. So you strong family then. You had a lot of family experiences?
I did have a lot of family experiences. I grew up in the Chicago area, which the family and all settled in. Of course, today, like the rest of the world, we are all spread far and wide. I first got my recollection in Christianity with being in a Episcopal school as a young boy, boarding school in mm-hmm. Minnesota. I was sent away at a young age of 11.
Wow.
And
to boarding school. Yeah.
And somewhat of an oxymoron because it was a military boarding school, Christian-built military boarding school. Mm-hmm. And so I spent, you know, most of my years going to various boarding schools up and through college.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a minute, because we all hear that term. A lot of people have heard it in movies and maybe read accounts of people going to boarding school. I think a lot of people would think, how can that work out? I mean, a child is young and you're at age 11, you're actually going like what an 18-year-old would do by leaving to go to school in a college. What was that like?
Well, it was somewhat challenging, especially in the first few years being away from home. I mean, I went home for vacations, you know, Christmas and Easter and so forth,
mm-hmm.
And spent the summer with my parents, but, in between, it was very challenging at first, but you get into the pattern like anything else. And I was there to study. I guess when I was back home, I wasn't the greatest student and wouldn't concentrate. And so this was the solution.
Would you say that would have been part of the motivation in your parents for sending you there, was to maybe kind of in a way discipline or put yeah. discipline in your life?
Put then? Discipline in my life, but probably more to get me a better education.
Now, we all know that those schools were known for really being regimented, and the educational values were great because they had really great teachers. It's like the ultimate private school then.
Absolutely. I mean, I think my average class size was 12.
Yeah, you don't get that. Certainly no. My growing up years, I think it would have been close to 30 in my homeschool, homeroom in my school, in my public school days in Indiana, would 25 to 30. So yeah, you had a lot more one-on-one time with your teachers.
That can be good and bad.
that is for sure, my friend. That is right. So how long did you stay at that boarding school?
I was there through eighth grade.
Mm.
And then I went to another boarding school after that for my high school years.
A different one, but different now one. 4 years. Yeah. So all the way from 11 to, say, 18 then.
Absolutely. And then college, I was away at college too.
Yeah. So what was your spiritual life like during all those years?
Well, the first boarding school was an Episcopal military school. So we had religious services twice a day, chapel services every day.
Mm-hmm.
Regular church services on Sundays, Bible studies once a week. So it was very strong, I would say, in religious training.
Did you have what you would call at that point in time, at some point in time, a personal kind of encounter with God?
No, I don't think at the time. I think it was really more of a regimen, like you'd say, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You kind of got into the habit of it. I think at that age, I mean, I went through confirmation and, you know, all those good things, but I don't think it really hit my heart as it does today.
Mm. I'm talking to Chalmers Morris, who is with Canterbury Retreat Center, and this is it's a great story for me to hear because, number one, I've not talked to too many people that would have that as an actual background, but it is something that going away at this young age, barely 11, 12 years old, going away like that. How do you compare the climate, let's say, to what you remember about just the environment of your life in Chicago then with what you see happening in the world today and thinking that an 11-year-old today, it's a lot different, isn't it?
The world is different.
Yeah, a lot different.
We were encouraged to be outside more and play more. We didn't have the gadgets that kids have today. There were no Game Boys or, you know, iPods or any of the games they play today. It was, you know, physical activity and, you know, playing baseball and running with your friends and climbing trees and all that good stuff.
You know, I remember as a young man, and I'm sure I bet you do too, leaving the house in the morning and coming back in to eat lunch and then going back out and not seeing my inside of the house until dinner time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so oft times parents didn't have a clue where I was. It was in the neighborhood, but they didn't know necessarily where I was during that time.
Well, I think the world was different as far as population and crime, and parents weren't as worried about where we were or what we were doing. You know, I think parenting was different in those days too.
Hmm. When you look back on all that time, what would be some of your fondest memories?
Well, I actually enjoyed the school once I got into the habit of it, if you will, into the discipline. I enjoyed the camaraderie of the other boys in the school. I enjoyed the warm relationship I developed with the proctors and the various teachers that we had, as well as the clergy that were associated with the school. And they became family.
Mm-hmm. What, were there any athletic teams that were associated with these schools?
We had all the usual, you know, hockey and football and baseball and so forth. Being in Minnesota, hockey started early because it froze early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little different than Florida.
Oh, that's right, because the school wasn't in Chicago. No, the school was actually...
It's up in Minnesota.
How far up the state was it?
It was in Faribault, and they still have a school there called Shattuck, which is now a combined school of both the girls and the boys in high school. But in those days, it was three separate schools. The boys were in one, the girls were in the other, and then the young boys, such as myself, was in a third school.
Mm-hmm. That's really a fantastic story. And you came out of that just fine. And
well, the votes are still out yet.
I don't think so, Chalmers. I think you're fine on that one. Where in there did you start developing a love for your business that you're in now?
Well, I always had an interest in hospitality. My parents owned a ranch in British Columbia that we went to every summer, but that had a guest element to it. They would bring in friends to spend the parts of the summer, you know, fishing and horseback riding and all that kind of stuff. And I enjoyed being around and participating and making sure they had an enjoyable summer. And when I say guests, we would have up to 80 guests on some weekends, staying at our family place. And so at one point I wanted to know what to go into as a career. And my father said, well, you know, you really like hospitality. Why don't you look into going to college and studying hospitality? So that is what I did. But along the way, I got married at one point, and I was married for, I guess, 12 years. And unfortunately, that marriage ended in divorce. We both were Episcopalians, but we really didn't follow it. And being in the hotel business, I worked every weekend, every holiday. Most days I worked 14 to 18 hours every day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I would start a 7 o'clock shift, go off at 3 and have to be back at 11 at night.
That's tough on a family.
Yeah. So every other 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And that became a challenge. While it was educationally, it was valuable in my career. It was a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
But during that period of time, because working every weekend, working every holiday, church fell away from me. And it was years later, actually, after I had been divorced, I had a job offer to work in Aspen, Colorado. And I went out there. And
another place for hospitality.
Another place.
Yeah, that's an amazing area.
And I had just arrived. I hadn't even moved in to my house yet. I'd purchased a piece of property, but I hadn't settled in yet. And I had a calling that night, and God said, go to church. And I had no idea where I was going. I got up in the morning, I got in my car, the car drove itself, if you will. Yeah. We went down a side street, and right in front of me was the Episcopal Church. And I walked into the door, and the first little lady that was there, a greeter, said to me, you're Chalmers Morse.
What?
I had no idea. I said, I didn't exactly announce I was coming to town or anything like that. I'd never met the lady in my entire life. I don't know if I just happened to look that way or what, but the lady looked at me and she said, I knew your mother. I went to prep school with her when she was a girl.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And my mother had at that point been gone for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So it really caught me by surprise.
Go back for a moment to the night before. When you talk about hearing an impression in your heart, in your mind, that God was telling you to do something, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
It really was more like a dream. You know, I think I had dozed off from unpacking, you know, having just traveled. And I just had this vision that I needed to go to church. Mind you, I hadn't been to church for probably at least 15 years, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up in the morning. I said, I have to do this. I have to do this.
Felt compelled.
Oh, absolutely drawn, but not knowing where I was going. And I thought that was very, very funny. And I got in the car, and it just was like on autopilot.
Yeah, I can't imagine how weird it was for that experience. Number one, to describe it like the car is taking you, you're driving and you're feeling led by this unseen hand. And then you get to the place and they know your name.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, it definitely was the Holy Spirit pulling me.
Wow.
And it was something I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never looked back. Mm. And, you know, since then I've had other callings. I have served as senior warden, which is like a board chair in some churches, but in Episcopal Church, we call it a vestry.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been a senior warden 6 times in various churches where I've lived, which is a great honor to be involved in the leadership of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing kind of happened with me with Canterbury. I actually live in Vero Beach, and I was senior warden there as well. And I serve on the altar and and so forth. And one Saturday evening, I was preparing for service, and I was vesting, and our priest came in, and I said, Father, I had a very strange dream last night, and it had to do with Canterbury. He said, he looked at me, and he says, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. I understand that in my mind, I feel that Canterbury is calling me. He looked at me, and he said, I was just there last weekend.
Ah.
And I said, well, tell me about it. He says, well, you know, they're looking for someone to run the place. I said, no. And I had recently retired. I did not like retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, okay. I can relate to that.
I'm not one to sit around and read a book. And so, you know, he passed my name on to our diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was asked to come up for an interview. And they had 40 or 50 applications. And we'd gone through a lot of telephone interviews and that kind of thing. And finally came down to three or four of us. And I was the one they selected.
Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
That's very exciting. Talking today to Chalmers Morse, and he is the director at the Canterbury Retreat Center. We're going to be back with him coming up in a moment. We'll have more of Chalmers here on Afternoons with Mike. You are in tune to The Shepherd.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
Sitting here in the studio with Chalmers Morse from Canterbury Retreat Center, you know, you were giving us a story of how you first came to this area and the beautiful area that it was. And tell us a little bit about what you saw when you came up after hearing that it was an opening there, that you might be the guy for it.
Well, it's not really, I wasn't really looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I had retired and I was living in Vero Beach, or still am living in Vero Beach. But being involved with the church, I had heard that there was a need, but I didn't hear it from anybody else. I heard it in a message from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so Saturday night when I was getting ready to vest and go out for evening services, I asked the priest in the vestry as we were preparing. I said, tell me about Canterbury. And he looked at me and he said, why do you ask? And I said, I had this dream. And he said, you know, they're looking for someone to run the place. And I said, no, I didn't. I had no idea. He said, you should go talk to the bishop. So that was part of the process, as well as meeting the Canterbury Board mm-hmm. of Directors.
Now, this is a retreat center that is used by people who are from all over, right?
It's a retreat center in Oviedo. 48 acres, sits around a lake, Lake Jim. Beautiful setting.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are in the middle of the city. I know that when they built it in 1982, it was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
Oviedo has changed dramatically.
It's amazing. And, but yet still on the property, we have deer and wildlife, and it's a very tranquil setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we host all kinds of meetings, you know, not just Christian-based meetings, which are primarily what we do, but we'll take small business groups too that are looking for a place to have a corporate board meeting or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have 48 guest rooms, and then we have meeting facilities, dining room, that kind of thing, a chapel on our property. And so we'll have various different Christian groups. Today, for example, the Orlando Area Christian Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. is meeting there.
And we love those people here.
Yeah, and they meet there quite often. But they're there today in particular because they are announcing the formation of the United States Christian Chamber of Commerce. So we're very excited about that.
You know, when you host a group like this, they get to take advantage to the time that's appropriate for the time that they're going to be there of this beautiful campus. How many rooms can you house for lodging there?
Well, we have 48 rooms, and then we have a dozen different size meeting rooms. The largest has the capacity of seating 200, and down to a small room for like 10 people for mm-hmm. a boardroom type conference.
So do you have like youth groups that ever come out?
We have youth groups. We have a crew quite often will come, Campus Crusades, mm-hmm. what used to be the old Campus Crusades for Christ.
Right.
They come out for sessions. We'll have all different types of denominations, and not just youth groups, but clergy retreats and vestry retreats and groups that are in their choir, and they might come for a weekend to work on their singing. Mm-hmm. We have icon painters who come to paint various religious icons. We have various grief counseling groups and marriage counseling groups, and just about anything you can think of that we would have. Mm-hmm. Primarily small. I mean, mm-hmm. there's only 48 rooms, but we handle most crowds of, as I said, up to about 100 as far as staying, and up to 200 as far as
for a meeting. Yeah. So when people come there, they're able to get again all of the advantages of being on site, and that is, there's something very special, I think, about being at a retreat, and maybe it's a church group, maybe it is one of these other business groups, like you said, but when they just go for a day trip, that can be great and it can be wonderful. I don't know what it is about getting a little like a 2 or 3 day getaway where you're staying at a place, you're meeting there. It really does something for the soul, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that there's a certain camaraderie that you have face to face that you don't get with Zoom calls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this last year, primarily everybody's been Zooming. That's been their method of operation, but there's been no option. And we have groups that will come and they'll spend 2 or 3 days together. And we have no televisions at Canterbury and no telephones. And we encourage groups to turn off their cell phones so that they can experience the meeting firsthand with no interruptions and an opportunity to really converse with, mm-hmm. with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We have a trail that goes around the lake that has the Stations of the Cross. It also has a paracourse so that you'll have people that are spiritually minded that will go around and pray as they go around the lake. And you'll have others that will jog around the lake and use the various exercise areas. But
mm-hmm.
Regardless, while you're there, most people go away with having a refreshed experience, an opportunity to spend a personal time with our Lord and know that they were there for a reason.
Mm. Now I have to ask this question. It's a lake. Do people fish it?
They do. And there are big bass in that lake.
Oh, come on.
And it's a very small lake, but they get 8-10 pound bass out of it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, I'll be over there tonight. I like it. Oh, that sounds great. You know, Chalmers, you were talking about the Zooming, and I think that's a term. Zoom calls were not heard of, it seems, before, or at least not in a widespread way, before last year during the lockdown. And all suddenly, I mean, talk about a technology that came around at the right time. People are at least able to meet and have conference calls with people over this this new technology called Zoom. Yet we both know that is nowhere near as cool as being face-to-face inside a beautiful retreat center. How did COVID affect Canterbury's outreaches? I know it did.
Well, it's interesting, Mike. When we started the year, it looked like it was going to be one of the best years that Canterbury had. And we had groups waiting in line to come in. And I remember to the date because it was March 15th when the decision was to close.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a full house with crew. And they were doing missionary training and so forth. And they had 2 more weeks of groups coming in. They would come for a week and then another group would come in, and it all came to a crashing halt. And at that point, you know, we didn't know what to do. You know, we thought, well, this will last a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were told.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah. And, you know, 2 weeks went on until obviously over a year.
Yeah.
And it was a big challenge for us because we had, at that time, we had about 35 employees. And I was concerned about their well-being as well as the well-being of Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to determine, what are we going to do? And I had been in the process of planning a renovation for Canterbury, which was to take place in June. We were going to do major renovations to the main building as well as the guest rooms. And so I thought through it and came to the conclusion that some of these jobs can be done by non-professionals, like painting. So all employees that wanted to continue to work were given that opportunity, a little different than their
normal
their
work
skill set.
Yeah, right.
You know, instead of cooking meals for the public, they might be throwing some paint on the buildings. But that's what we did. We ended mm-hmm. up going through every guest room and painting them all, painting the exterior of the buildings, all the while the general construction was going on, you know, in the main building. So we took advantage of the downtime to do that kind of work. But at the same time, we felt we were missing the boat as far as trying to help with the COVID. So we were contacted by Seminole County, who asked if we would consider housing first responders that needed to be quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
And so about mid-May, we started doing that. You know, first responders would be taking people to the hospital. They would be exposed, and then they, to protect their family, they needed to go somewhere so that they were sure that they tested negative before they went back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that for several months.
Hmm.
The longest time I remember was there was one lady who ironically was an Episcopal priest that came from a different area that had contracted COVID while she was here in the Orlando area. And she ended up staying with us, I think, for almost a month because she kept, even though she had come out of the hospital, she kept testing positive.
How did the workers there fare?
I'm happy to say that no one came down with it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's more than I can say.
I just think it's the Holy Spirit working around us, and because we were doing something that God thought was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also then started reaching out. People would contact us that had lost their homes, or they had, you know, rented and lost, they couldn't afford to rent any longer, or whatever the case may be. And so there were numerous families that we put up until they could find new mm-hmm. situations. And of course we did this gratis. There was not a fee involved with that. That wasn't why we were doing it. We were doing it because that was the right thing.
Would that be true for all of the first responders as well?
No, we did have a contract mm-hmm. with the county
Good.
To do
okay.
that. But that was a little different, you know,
mm-hmm.
because the county was funded, I suspect, somewhat from the federal government, based on the national response. But the people that lost their homes and people that, couldn't afford to pay rent, those kind of things, they weren't being helped out. That was way before the stimulus money came to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt that it was a need that needed to be met, and we were happy to do it. We felt called to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you think back and realize that you went from the full 180 of thinking that 2020 was going to be a banner year in maybe one of the best years ever, and then, like you said, in one fell swoop, you get the word on March 15th that it's lockdown time, and everyone is shuttering doors. For a person in charge, it really hits deeply, doesn't it?
It does, because you have employees that you consider family.
Yeah.
And you want to look after them as well as the guests that are there. Any successful business, their employees are important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the difference between being, you know, a well-run organization and just being mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
And they meant the world to me and what they were doing. And the fact that they were willing to roll up their sleeves and, you know, paint, even though, you know, that individual might have been the chef, speaks of volumes to me. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure in some ways, in many ways, if not every way, they're probably pretty glad that they had options, because a lot of places started off with a furloughing that ended up in a layoff.
That's right.
So, I mean, the fact that even if they had to change what they're doing to be able to keep a paycheck, even if it's a lesser paycheck, it's still it's a positive.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And I think part of it is, though, they all believed in what we were doing, mm-hmm. and trying to help, trying to make a difference.
You know, recently there have been a lot of movements now toward what would be a return, let's say, to some normal practices. I heard that Disney is no longer going to be taking temperature checks at the parks, which that's a big deal. And you know, a lot of places, obviously, with the governor's new bill and the mandate that no one is going to be fined for wearing masks, or that's going to be changing. And a lot of places are even changing their policies and protocols with masks. So I'm sure that's going to help you as well.
It is. We adopted a program for the few businesses that did come in, though. We have wristbands that we make people wear that red, yellow, or green. Red meaning stay away from me. Green meaning, you know, I'll take a hug. And yellow being, you know, elbows or knuckles.
And, okay.
That way it was part of the social distancing program. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people felt that when they're in a large room and they're wearing their masks, of course, but they wanted to talk to a friend, they didn't have to go on the other side of the room because, yeah. You know.
So red means not necessarily contagious or anything.
No, it just means.
Yeah, just I'm not comfortable having you come up close.
Absolutely. And so mm-hmm. that worked well for us. And we still are using it for those groups that wish to do it. But since the mandate has changed, I mean, we still request social distancing. Our food service used to be buffet, where people would go down both sides of the counter. Of course, we've changed that and modified the counters with plexiglass shields, and we serve them instead of going through the line like they used to. But other than that, it's been pretty normal. We don't have the volume that we used to have. You know, a group would come in that would be 60, and now they come in, they're 30.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So we're hoping that we get somewhat back to a normal lifestyle, whatever that may be, and groups start returning.
Maybe 2022 will be the year that you thought 2020 was going to be.
I hope so. I mean, we're seeing reservations beginning to come in now since the governor changed the requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as people are getting vaccinated, they're realizing that, you know, we can get back to doing what we used to do.
It's wonderful. Give us, before we take a break, give us the web address for Canterbury.
It's canterburyretreat.org.
CanterburyRetreat.org. All right, coming up in a moment, we're going to be back with Chalmers Morse from Canterbury. Coming up in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back with Chalmers Morse here on Afternoons with Mike. He's my guest. Chalmers is the director at Canterbury Retreat Center. And we've talked about this. We brought up the fact that even during the time when we are recording this program, that there is an event going on today at the Retreat Center with the Christian Chamber. And our friend Mark Goldstein and Crystal Parker are out at this event. And you mentioned something which a lot of people may not realize, that the local Christian Chamber is also now becoming a little bit bigger.
Much bigger. They're becoming, as of today, the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce. obviously a much broader reach than just the Orlando area. Today, the lunch and meeting that they have features a well-known trainer, Joe Pesci. I know everybody's excited about him being there.
Yeah, Joe is a crazy enthusiastic guy. He's been on my program a couple of times. The number one trainer in the world. That's a pretty good goal if you're going to aim at something to become number one, but number one in the world.
Yeah.
And it's right at the Canterbury Retreat Center.
It is at Canterbury. And we're excited because this fall in October, I think it's around the 14th, I don't remember exactly, we will be having, or the Christian Chamber will be having a expo on business training. And Joe is just one of about seven guest speakers that will be there. And
David Prosper is
going
to be there.
That's right. David will be there.
Yeah, David is an amazing guy, too. Also has been on my program, really doing a wonderful thing in education. And for those that did not hear that episode, you can catch the podcast by going to any of the podcast sources like Spotify or iTunes, Apple, and Google Podcasts, or at theshepherdradio.com and just search for David Prosper. It's really a fantastic story. And like you said, he's going to have several, they'll have several other people that are going to be there at that expo.
And David was at Canterbury not too long ago and gave a talk, stayed with us, and we were delighted to have him there. So we'll look forward to having him back again in the fall for the expo.
Did he do one of his spoken words?
He did.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's amazing. He really is. He's a very talented guy. When you look now at, it's so easy to glance over the shoulder and realize we're just about a year from when the 2 month biggest, hardest part of the lockdown last year. We're almost at that 1 year anniversary. And if you were to give a figure on where you think Canterbury would be percentage wise from where you were last year, how much of an improvement in percentage do you think you've seen this this last month?
Well, this month has been very slow for us, only because we still have cancellations. I'm hoping it's going to come to a halt pretty soon, but we were looking at a large group for this month, and 2 weeks out they canceled, saying we're not quite ready yet. And they rebooked it, but they booked it a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're not losing the people that cancel, we are losing them
immediately. Yeah, and that hurts.
And that's been what's happened ever since the whole start of this. You know, initially they cancel and they move it a year out. And this is still happening to some degree, and it's beginning to slow down. But of course, coming to Orlando in the summer is not always the best time of year for the heat and the rains and so forth. So I anticipate fall being much stronger for us. And looking at the forecast that we have for 2022, it looks very strong. Mm-hmm. But between now and then, it's a challenge.
What do you think is for you the most fun part about your job?
Meeting all the different people that come through the gates at Canterbury. I think that means the most. And knowing that they've been touched by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When I see someone come in and they go away and they literally are almost in tears having had that experience. And it's not Canterbury. It's not the grounds. It's the Holy Spirit moving in them,
mm-hmm.
and how it's made a difference in their lives.
That's a wonderful thing. And you get to see that on a regular basis.
I get to see that on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have the fun things too, like weddings and various celebrations that we host there. And that's always a joy. But I think the most is to see someone that's been truly touched and how it's made a difference in their life.
You were talking earlier about the desire to be as uninterrupted and not distracted as much as possible. And we all know today's media that people carry around in their phones, some with tablets. But we're living in a day where people have their heads down in the screen more than they should. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. And frankly, I might have mentioned it earlier, but at Canterbury, we have no television and no telephones. Mm-hmm. And we really encourage people to leave their cell phone in their room and turn it off.
Don't you find that, I can only imagine this, but there's a lot of people who are probably going through a sense of withdrawal when they get there and there's not any of these things. I wonder, do you get pushback from that?
Not just a little bit, but in mostly the younger group. The older folks, I think, after you know, realizing that they can call back later, you know, it's like the days when you had line phones or landline phones and an answer machine. And I remember with my children growing up that the phone would ring at dinner and I said, leave it. And they go, but it could be, you know, I said, you know, the answering machine will handle it. And so the same thing with our cell phones. Mm-hmm. What I see is groups that gather in the evening, looking out over the lake in front of one of our fire pits, for example, and they'll sit there and they'll have deep conversation, or they will be doing a Bible study, or, you know, numerous things where the conversation is between, you know, two or three people, and those two or three people are right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you go out and you'll see a young group? I remember one time going out to dinner with my wife, and we went to a restaurant, and it had to be prom season because all these young people were dressed up in their tuxedos and their nice dresses and so forth. But none of them were talking with each other. And when you looked, you realized they were all looking down at their cell phones, and they were texting either other people or people at the same table. It made me think that they didn't have the capability of talking or communicating.
Well, I don't know if it's a matter of not having the ability, but functionally it's not having the ability.
It's, you know, we need to get back to basics as far as certain mm-hmm. things are concerned. And Canterbury offers that. It gives you an opportunity to really have conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And gives you an opportunity to spend time and pray without distractions of the town, without distractions of your cell phone or television or any of those things.
You know, you have given us a couple of great examples of a call, is what you called it, where you really had an encounter with God. And, you know, it is, in my mind, it is something on the heart of God. I believe very clearly that people can hear that sense of leading and that guiding if only they will listen. I think of the word that says, he that has ears, let him hear. And it's very clear that you could have ears, but not hear. And I think that what we're talking about right now is one of the detractions. It's a detractor to this ability to hear the voice of God. If we are just so busy all the time and wrapped up into social media or texting, face down in the screen, I don't know how many times, Chalmers, I'll go into a restaurant and I look around. I do this every time I go to a restaurant and I look at what people are doing. Lately, I've been finding actual conversations taking place, but there for a while, it was like every time I go in, the people sitting around were not talking. They were both in their phones.
Yeah.
And that's such a sad thing.
It is. And it's where our culture has taken us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm looking at Canterbury for the future
mm-hmm.
is a program for clergy, all denominations. I'm working now on a plan to bring in leaders and training in various aspects of everyday ministry. If you think about so many ministers, they get out of seminary and they have the book learning and they know about, you know, the aspects of the Bible and so forth, but they don't have any practical experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may not be able to lead a parish from the standpoint of operations, if you will, because even though it, you know, it's a spiritual business, there's a business aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they know how to read a financial statement? What do they do about the first couple that comes to them for counseling on marriage or divorce or grief counseling and all those things? So I'm working to try and put together a program that would bring people together for two or three day meetings in the middle of the week so that those that are pastors can still go to their churches on Sunday and bring in experts that could teach them that. So one week would be, for example, you know, how to balance the book and how to raise funds and, you know, that aspect of it. The next would be maybe concentrating on fund development, or it might be on counseling, you know, so that someone that's fresh out of seminary gets some common sense answers on how to do things from people that have already been in ministry for some time.
Well, it's very clear that we need more help sometimes coming out of schools. We don't have that necessarily practical aspect of what the job would be once we go. So I think that's a great idea and a great way to serve. And Canterbury, in addition to being a beautiful place, it's a full service place. You've got food and everything provided.
Absolutely. When guests come to Canterbury, all their meals are included. It's like the old fashioned American plan, where it includes breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Three meals a day. You can't beat it.
Can't beat it.
Yeah. And a beautiful lake and a beautiful setting and a very nice, quiet place to think and pray, seek God and enjoy and be refreshed and renewed. And I pray that today has been that for you, sir.
Oh, it's been great. I really enjoyed meeting you, Mike, and learning about your journey as well.
Well, it's great to have you with us.
And that's all of our time for today. Thanks for being with us. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.